Thank you very much for this introduction. I will actually, I'm going to kind of motivate the colloquium today. I'll be able to say more about this once we'll see some things. So let's just start. This talk is about, or introduction is about, tiling periodicity and decidability. And I will start by just defining the main object here, which is translational tiling. So what are tilings by translations? We have some group. We mostly care about abelian groups, so the action is commutative. So you can think about RD or ZD as good examples to hold in mind. And so a tile, a translational tile, is some bounded set with positive measure such that by translating it along some set, we can cover almost every point in R space in G, in the group, exactly once. Almost every means that the set where we have the point is not covered or covered twice, like the boundary, has measure zero. So this is the object, exactly the object that you will have in mind when we say tilings. But I want to emphasize that my tilings are only by translation. So we have one copy, and we are allowed only to translate that piece. And by doing so, we want to tile the space to cover almost every point exactly once. So I can reformulate this condition using a convolution. I can, so now F is my piece, my bounded set of positive measure. And 1 sub F is the indicator function of this set F. And 1 sub A is the indicator of the translation set. And when saying that F tiles along A just means, or equivalent to saying that this convolution is equal to 1 almost everywhere. Any questions?
What is omega? Can you just to understand before you get
lost?
Oh,
sorry. This should be F.
Oh, F.
I didn't. Yeah, I needed to modify it. Sorry. So omega is usually when I'll say omega later on, I'll refer to tile in RD, and F will usually be a tile in ZD. So sorry, this is a typo. Okay. Omega is F. Yes.
Oh. Well, identity of, what does that?
This is the indicator function of the set F. So the indicator, 1 sub, let's say S. S is some set in a group at X is equal to 1 if X is in the set, and otherwise it is equal to 0.
Okay.
Any more questions? So for example, if this is my set S, and this is the space G, so the indicator will just take the value, this is a function that takes the value 1 here and 0 elsewhere. Sorry, I don't.
Can you explain again that the convolution that?
What does it mean? Okay, so a convolution, I'll use this. So 1 sub A convolved with 1 sub F. By definition, this is just at point X. this is just a finite sum because, I should say, let's think about f zd, and it is finite, a finite set, because we require that f is bounded. So in this case, it means that f is finite. So this is a finite sum of the indicator of A at these points. So X is the point where I consider, and I just translate it along all the points of F. And I want that this sum will be equal to 1, because this point is covered only once. Okay, this is the tiling condition, right? If you every point is covered just once by the translations of f along a. Okay, so yes, this omega, this is a typo. This omega should be f, not every set is a tile. But if I can, given some f, I can find a translation set A along which f tiles, then f is called a tile of my group G, and A is said to be a tiling of G by the tile f. Okay? Yes.
Okay, so I don't understand the last, the direct sum of A and F that gives G, because if F is the tile and A is the tiling, I expect the tiling to be built by the tiles. So how can I make sense of this direct sum?
So the direct sum just means that this is just a notation, but I'll explain why we use this notation, why we use the direct sum here, because saying that we have a tiling means that every point in G, for any point in G, there is only one way to write it as a sum of an element of F with an element of A. There is just exactly one way to write it as a sum, and that is, this is kind of saying that it is a direct sum. Right? This is the meaning of, this is the definition of a direct sum. So that's why we use this notation to denote tiling. Okay, so this is the definition. This is, there are many words here. Let's see some examples. Any more questions before we move on? So here is one example. This is a painting of a chair. It's a tiling of the plane of R2 with copies of a butterfly. So now F is this butterfly. We translate it, and we get that almost every point in R2 is covered exactly once by the copies. Okay. I want to turn your attention to the fact that this tiling is very, very, very structured, and we cannot slide anything here. However, when I wanted to tile my backyard with a rectangle, then I was able to slide the rows independently. So there are many, 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 many more structures here, and the structure is less rigid. So these are examples for two tilings of the plane. In one, we had a tile that is a butterfly. In this example, we have a tile that is a rectangle. And we see, maybe this second example shows that there are many, 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 sometimes in some cases, we can get many, many structures of the tiling. The tiling is not unique. So after this observation, this is a good time to define a periodic tiling. So suppose that we have a tiling of G by some tile F. We say that the tiling A is periodic if there is a lattice, where here by a lattice I mean that it is a discrete subgroup of G whose quotient is compact, okay, so a full dimensional subgroup, such that A is invariant under translation by any point in the lattice. Okay? So, for example, this is an example of a periodic tiling, right? So in this case, the tiling is not only periodic, it's even a lattice itself, and of course that it is invariant under translation by points in ZD. But this is a non-periodic tiling. If I slide just one row, then I have periodicity in one direction, in the horizontal direction, but no longer in the vertical direction. Okay, any questions about the definition of periodicity here? I cannot hear you, can you?
Thinking it should be everywhere, right? Not in just a subset of all the tiling. Like, because you can still see some periodicity in the vertical axis if you just consider it like the lower part, right? But you actually have to be, it needs to be everywhere, like the same.
Exactly. We want to have a lattice, a subgroup, full dimensional subgroup, such that A is invariant with respect to all the translations by this lattice.
I have a slightly different question. In this decomposition of R2 that you showed, the butterflies and the turf, the tile is you said it. So you need F to be of measure non-zero.
Yes.
And so, but A has to be discrete or can also be of non-vanishing measure in some sense?
So A is going to be a uniformly discrete set. So yes, it will be just a translation set. It's uniformly discrete in the sense that Just because the tile has positive measure, forces the distance between any points in A to be bounded below by some number, because otherwise we'll have overlaps.
Well, since Aldo talked about this, I kind of still struggle to understand what is A in that picture. Or any of this.
Why?
Like F, I think it was clear to me, but A still.
What is A? Okay. So A, in this case, for example, let me draw a picture. So suppose, I hope that you'll see it. This is my tile. Suppose that this is a unit square, okay? This is my tile. And I want to tile the plane by, so I put one copy here. This is one point of A. And then I'll put another copy here. This is another point of A. And another point copy here. So these are the translates of the square, such that we end up having a tiling. So these are the points of A, and this is F.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
More questions? Okay, so we have tilings, translational tilings, and we know what periodic tilings are, and I want now to generalize this notion of tilings. So far, we have seen only tilings by one piece, but we can also tile our group by several pieces, each of which is bounded and has positive measure. So let's see some example of tiling by multiple tiles. So here is one example. We tiled the plane by translated copies of a cat and a dog. So we have two tiles here. And here is another example. We have two tiles, two rotations of a seahorse. Okay. So now if we look at this example, you can see that if we allowed rotations, then this will be a tiling by just a single tile. But since we allow only translations, we have here a tiling by two tiles. Okay? And let's see another example of this flavor. Now we have we tile the plane with translated copies of four rotation of a lizard.
In your set A, how do you characterize that it's only translation and not rotations?
When we have more than one tile, we'll have two translation sets. If we have two tiles, we'll have two translation sets. If we have J tiles, we'll have J translation sets, each of which will be the translation of one of the pieces.
But what property of A tells me that that set can correspond only to translations? Because rotation can also be modeled by a set, right?
This denotes that this kind of you only translate you just use one operation, which is translation, right? You use the group operation, which is translation. Okay, this plus denotes the.
If I had to write this notation including rotations, what would I write? Like if just like the seahorse picture with my set?
Let's try to simplify since I'm not going to discuss tilings by more than one operation. The only notation that you are going to see in this introductory is this notation, because we are going to focus on tiling by translations, and we will see why later on.
Thanks.
Okay. Okay. These are the objects, or these are the definitions that terminology that we are going to use, and there are several vague questions that I can ask at this point. So one is, suppose that you gave me some subset of G. Can I decide, can I tell you whether this is a tile of G or not? Because not all the sets are tiles, right? So is this a question, can I answer this question? And another vague question, or very general question, is that suppose that I give you a tile, and I tell you this is a tile. It can tile the group by translation. Can you then tell me what are all the possible structures that the tiling admit? So these are vague questions, and let's try to be more precise. So about decidability, I can make this question precise. Now I'm working on ZD. My group is ZD. And I want to know if there is an algorithm such that upon any given finite subset of ZD, it will compute in finite time whether this is a tile, a translational tile of ZD or not. So this is decidability, or algorithmic decidability. There are more notions of decidability, but we'll focus on this one. Now, there is another question about the structure. So I can, for example, ask, suppose that F does tile, does it admit a tiling that is periodic? Or must it admit a tiling that is periodic? So I can ask this question in ZD, in the group ZD, and I can as well ask the question in RD. So I am given some bounded measurable subset of RD, of positive measure, And I want to know if knowing that this set tiles, I also know that it tiles periodically. Okay? So these are three questions, and it looks like there is probably some connection between the last two, but actually there is there are connections between all of them. So let's see some connections here. So it turns out that maybe I'll write the questions on the blackboard so that we'll have it, because we are going to refer to it. So the first question is that is there an algorithm such that it takes any finite, it gets as an input. This is the input, and the output is it can tell me in finite time, it can compute whether F tiles or it doesn't tile. Okay, so this is the first question. The second question is, suppose that F tiles ZD, F is finite. Does it mean, this is a question, that F also tiles periodically? And the third question is about tiles, the same question about the periodicity of tiling in RD. So now I have some bounded measurable set subset of RD. I know that it tiles RD. Does it mean that it tiles periodically? Okay, so these are the three questions that we are going to discuss, and let's say something about the connection between these three questions. So first, it turns out that if we have a positive, if two is correct, if the answer to the second question is yes, then we get a positive answer to one. And this is due to Hao Wang. So if we know that every tile in ZD admits a periodic tiling, then we get the decidability of tilings. So let me try to explain. Suppose that the answer to the second question is yes. Okay, this is our assumption. Let me show you how we construct this, or what will be the algorithm. So my algorithm, what it will do, it will compute all the possible ways to tile finite regions, and I will write it such so that it will compute, it will tile larger and larger and larger a finite region, all the possible ways to tile finite regions. And then if the set is not a tile, then by compactness, we must encounter the obstacle at some finite step. So at some finite step, we'll not be able to continue anymore. We'll get stuck. And if it tiles, then we assume that two is correct. So there is a periodic tiling, and then one of the finite region will satisfy some periodic boundary condition. We'll see this periodicity at some finite step. And then from this point on, we can just continue periodically to tile the whole space. So at this point already, the algorithm will be able to output that this is a tile. Any questions?
point of this discussion of two implies one is that you can find an algorithm or not, because otherwise we have assumed in two that f is a tile, f is f tiles cd, right? So is the first question is that you are trying to find an algorithm such that f becomes a tile, or you have, that you find a tiling for, means that my question is, if the first question was that if there exists a tiling, means if given a set f, does f tile cd, that question would directly follow because we have assumed in two that f tiles cd, right? But this algorithm
right,
part
right,
is
right the, right 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 okay, let me explain. So the question here is not, the second question is not about whether f tiles or not. In the second question, we know that f tiles.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that f tiles, the question is whether it admits a periodic tiling, whether any tile of CD admits periodic tiling. Here, in the first question, we don't assume that f tiles. We just assume that the answer to this question is positive. So if f tiles, then it has periodically. Okay, so assume that if f tiles, it has periodically, then we get that there is an algorithm that such that given any finite subset of ZD as an input, can compute in finite time whether this subset is a tile or not. So we don't adopt the assumption here. We just assume that the answer to this question, there is a question here, whether this implication is true. We assume that this implication is actually true, and assuming that, we get the existence of an algorithm. Okay, so there is a connection. So two implies one, and it turns out that three implies two. So this is, or in other words, we have that if any tile in RD admits a periodic tiling, then we get that any tile in ZD admits a periodic tiling. And I will talk about this implication. So the first implication I just explained a few minutes ago. And the second implication, the implication three implies two, I will discuss it in the colloquium, so I will not expand about that. Okay? But you can maybe roughly, just to give you a rough idea, in RD we have more degrees of freedom. So if here we have that the answer is positive, then here, where we have less degrees of freedom, we should also have that the answer is positive. This question is kind of stronger than the ZD case. Okay, so these are the questions that that we want to understand, and you see why the periodicity of tiling can be interesting or important. So one reason is that if we have that the answer to this third question is correct, is yes, is positive, then we have positive answer to all the questions above. In particular, we have the decidability of tiling. So this may be one motivation to study the periodicity of tiling. And in this context, there is a very, very famous conjecture, the periodic tiling conjecture, which asserts that the answer to this third question is positive. So the periodic tiling conjecture is that the answer is yes. But this is a conjecture. Okay.
To understand the structure of implications, is it like from two, is there any inverse, like the inverse arrows?
Great question. I will, this is open. In dimension one, we know that they are equivalent. But in dimensions two and higher, it's open, and this is a question that we try to study right now. I'll talk about it a bit in the colloquium. The other direction is probably not correct, because I describe one algorithm, but maybe there are many, many, many more algorithms that do not correspond to periodicity or do not rely on periodicity. So saying that the answer to the third question is positive is kind of saying that any tiling can be repaired to be periodic. Like, think about the example that we had with the squares. I just shifted one row, but I can repair this tiling to be periodic by just sliding the row back. Okay? So saying that the periodic tiling conjecture is true is kind of saying that any tiling can be repaired to be periodic, even if it is non-periodic. And as we observed, if we have a positive answer to the third question, or if the periodic tiling conjecture is true, then we get positive answers to all the questions above. So now we want to know if the periodic tiling conjecture is true, or in other words, if there are any aperiodic tilings. So aperiodic tiling for me, from now on when I say an aperiodic tiling, it means that I have a tiling, the set tiles, but it does not admit any tiling that is periodic. Okay? So I want you to look into this question, and this is actually not the question that I asked. So maybe there are aperiodic tilings, but the question is about periodic tiling, the periodicity of tilings by only translations and tiling by only a single tile. So let's see what happens when we generalize this question. So for example, if I allow for more operation, not only translation, I allow or rotation and reflections as well, then there are aperiodic tiling by a single tile. This is the construction of Sokolar and Taylor from 2011 of one tile. It's not a translation tile, it's a tile by rotation, reflection, and translation that does not admit any periodic tiling. Now, if we look at this example as a translational tiling, we will have 12 pieces, not one. Okay, because we will consider all the reflections and the rotations, as we did with the seahorse and the lizard. So this is the tiling that we will end up getting, and then aperiodicity relies on the fact that, as you can see, there is some self-similarity here. So we will not have any, in any scale, we will not have periodicity.
Three implying two and two implying one, are these sufficient conditions or are these sufficient and necessary in some sense that, so we need to have three in order for two to hold and for question one to hold, or is it that, there could be a counter.
Yeah, so you ask a question that's similar to the question that Aldo asked before about the other directions, if they are actually equivalent, right?
Yeah.
So as I said, the implication here from two to three is open in dimensions two and higher. It's known that they are the same in dimension one, but in higher dimensions, it's open. And I will talk about it in the colloquium. Here, we probably don't have, it will be naive to assume that the only algorithm that we can write relies on periodicity. Okay, so.
On this one, you're saying that this losange would tile the plane alone, but not periodically.
Yes, it admits a tiling. You can expand it, as you can see, but none of the tiling will be periodic. With this shape, this is the tile.
Yes.
Roughly. But with this tile, it was proven that it is a tile. You can tile the space. If you rotate, reflect, and translate it, you will get a tiling of the space, but you cannot tile it periodically.
But I think my question is whether the next... So in here you consider... So what is non-periodic when you tile by these? Is a substructure inside, or is the... This seen as a set, as a unique.
So saying that it's non-periodic, it means that there is no lattice such that the tiling is invariant under translation by this lattice. So if you see, you will not get, there is no lattice such that if we look at this piece, we will see if we translate, if we translated by a point in the lattice, we'll see exactly the same picture. Okay. Maybe there are similarities, but we will not have a symmetry, a lattice symmetry. Okay. So this is why I restricted in this question. It actually makes sense to restrict ourselves to tiling by only translations, because otherwise we have counterexamples. And now, why did I restrict ourselves to tiling by just one tile? Well, there are many examples at this point already of tilings by multiple tiles that are aperiodic. And maybe the most famous example is this Penrose tiling. This is one of them. This is the kite and dart tiling, or Penrose P2. So it is an aperiodic tiling by translations of 20 tiles. Okay, so there are counterexamples if we allow multiple tiles. This is what we get if we expand the previous structure. And here is another Penrose tiling. This is Penrose. standing on a Penrose tiling. And here we have an aperiodic tiling of the plane by translations of 10 tiles, which are their rotation and translations of these two shapes. Okay. So it turns out that actually if we allow, if we continue to think about tilings by multiple tiles, so it turns out that not only that the periodic tiling conjecture fails, but also we have negative answers to all these questions above. Okay? So it's much, much stronger. If we have a negative answer to this first question, we get negative answer to all the question below, and it turns out that when we allow multiple tilings by multiple tiles, then we have undecidability. So the answer to the first question is negative. And this was first proven by Berger. So with multiple tiles, he proved that the question is undecidable. This first question is undecidable when d is equal even to 2, but there are more than one tile. So what he did, he takes a Turing machine, and any such Turing machine he encodes as tiling problem with multiple tiles. We have J tiles in Z2. So each of these sets is finite. And he shows that the question whether this Turing machine holds is equivalent to the question whether these sets, they tile Z2. by translations. Okay? Now, this proves that the answer to the first question is negative for multiple tiles in Z2, since the halting problem is undecidable. So if we encode this undecidable question as a tiling problem with multiple tiles, we get the undecidability of tilings by multiple tiles in Z2.
So in this case, this is true for both periodic and aperiodic tiles?
Yes, so this is, since we have undecidability, since the answer so logically, if we say that 2 implies 1, it's the same as saying that not 1 implies not 2, right? This is just logic. So if I proved that 1 is not true, I get that the answer to the second question is not is no. And so we get the existence, there must exist a set F that tiles, but does not admit any periodic tiling. So and there must exist an aperiodic tiling by multiple tiles. Okay? So this is the connection to periodicity. So
will this not hold true if we have just single tiles in Z2? What's the significance of having multiple tiles, and will it not hold true if we have just single tiles?
Yeah, so with multiple tiles, the tiling condition is much less rigid. So I'll try to answer this question, but first I want to show you example, and then I will show you why tiling by single tile are so rigid, are so different from tilings by multiple tiles. So this is a great question. I'll try to answer, to give one answer later. Okay, so Turing, that's how Berger proved the undecidability of tilings in Z2 by multiple tiles. He encoded them as the halting problem, which is known to be undecidable. And he also constructed, to answer your question, he not only proved the undecidability, which implies the existence of an aperiodic tiling by multiple tiles, he actually constructed an aperiodic tiling of Z2 by multiple tiles. And multiple here is more than 20,000. So he used the computer to construct an aperiodic tiling by more than 20,000 tiles. Later, people try to improve this result, to construct aperiodic tiling of Z2 by fewer tiles. And this is just a partial list of construction. So this is the construction of Berger. And as you can see, a long time, people improved this construction and get either aperiodic tilings by fewer and fewer tiles or undecidable constructions by fewer and fewer tiles. And very recently, we were able to go as low as 2. We were able to construct an undecidable tiling problem with only 2 tiles. So this is a joint work with Cherry Tao from last year, 2021. So we show that what we do, we rely on this construction of this proof or this encoding approach of Berger. And what we do, we then encode any tiling problem with multiple tiles in Z2 as, this is Berger, and this is what we did. We encode it as a tiling problem in Z2 cross some finite abelian group. From now on, when I say G node, I refer to some finite abelian group with only 2 tiles. So this problem is undecidable because that was Berger showed, and we get the undecidability of this problem with only 2 tiles. Any questions?
This second arrow also, you prove an equivalence between those two boxes, or?
Oh, we take any tiling here, any tiling by multiple tiles in Z2, and we show that it is equivalent to a tiling problem. The question whether this is a tile set or not is equivalent to a question whether some two tiles, F1 and F2, that correspond to the problem that we started with, tile Z2 cross G-node or not. And G-node can, G-node also differ, depend on the original problem. So G-node is not fixed here. F1 and F2 are not fixed, and also G-node.
But then you can't say that you have reduced the problem to just two tiles. You have reduced the problem to two tiles for a means you have changed the space, right?
Exactly. This is true. Okay. We show that you can go as low as two at the cost of enlarging the group by some finite abelian group. Correct. Yeah. This is exactly the idea. To reduce the number of the tile at the cost of enlarging the space.
Originally, which was the space?
Z2.
Okay.
So here the space is fixed, but the number of the tile isn't. And we just use the flexibility of choosing this finite abelian group to reduce the number of the tile, to fix the number of the tile. So we get an undecidability with just two tiles.
And did you connect this new with the number of tiles, or like how do you find this G knot?
So G knot, we construct it to correspond to it comes from the encoding that we use. I'll talk a bit about the encoding because it's this is the approach that we also use to prove the result that I'm going to discuss in the colloquium. So I'll talk a bit about this encoding. And also there, we did something similar. So the idea is that the encoding uses some, so we develop some tiling language that allows us to encode some sentences as tiling equations. I'll show some examples in the colloquium. And in order for us to have enough flexibility and to be able to encode enough sentences, we need the flexibility here with G-node. So G-node depend if this tiling is very complex, then G-node is going to be very complex. But still, we have undecidability with two tiles. This implies aperiodicity with two tiles, and we get that the periodic tiling conjecture fails if we allow for the number of the tiles to be two, as low as two. But what about tilings by a single tile, right? The periodic tiling conjecture originally was about tiling by only a single tile, and you can see why. Because when we have more than one tile, or when we allow more operations, then we can find counterexample.
Sorry, can I, to understand your result with tau, for the algorithm to be undecidable, for the algorithm not to exist, does G not need to be part of the data? So if I fix then there might be for that specific G not decidability.
Yeah, is maybe. So this is exactly the precise what I wrote here.
Yeah.
G-node, F1 and F2, they are the input.
And then it's undecided. Mm-hmm.
Yes. But still, it implies if you consider other senses of decidability, not algorithmic decidability, but Berger to to encode this the original problem to encode this the halting problem, he needed infinitely many, like the number of the tiles was not bounded, and that is why we need a lot of flexibility here. However, if we replace the question from being about algorithmic disabledability to being about logical disabledability, then G naught can be fixed, and also F1 and F2. I didn't define logical disabledity here.
Yeah, I didn't know what
that is. Yeah, so we can talk about it later. Maybe it's too abstract, so I didn't want to to define it here. So this is correct. We have the freedom in the G naught side. Before I go back to our periodic tiling conjecture, I want to also mention that many people got interested in studying the periodicity of tilings because later in the 80s, so Berger proved his result in the 60s. 20 years later, it was found that these aperiodic structures, they actually exist in nature. And this was found by Dan Shechtman in 82, and he got the Nobel Prize for this discovery. And his discovery was motivated by the discovery 20 years earlier of Berger of aperiodic tiling, because aperiodic tilings, they are the mathematical models of this natural quasicrystal. So one maybe importance of the study of the periodicity of tiling, one important application is the field of crystallography. So this is maybe now we have enough motivation to go back to our question about, I hope I convince you that this question is actually exciting and interesting, and it has important application to disability, to natural science. So now, as we have seen, we need really to restrict the previous question to a question about the periodicity of only translational tiling and only by a single tile, right? Because otherwise we have counterexamples. And let's see what's so special about this case when we have when we allow only to translate and we have just a single tile. Why do we expect in that case this answer to be yes? So why did Lagares and Wang, or earlier Greenbaum and Sheffard, conjectured that the answer to the third question is yes? So maybe one motivation, yes.
When you say that counterexamples exist, but because we have modified our set in a way, the statement will change, right? For those counterexamples, you said it won't be just RD. Again, there will be some. We say that if you include two tiles, you're saying that there exists counterexample to three. But those counterexamples are not to three. It is three slightly modified, right? Because you are changing, enlarging your space.
Yeah, so the counterexample that we have seen, actually we got counterexample to one.
Mm-hmm.
If we have counterexample to one, right, then we get counterexample, the existence of a counterexample to all of the above. Because saying that three implies two means that not two implies not three. And saying that two implies one means that not one implies not two. So if we have not one, we have not two and not three. And since we proved not one, so there is some dimension D, so it will be the number of the generators here, such that the tiling problem is undecidable with two tiles, we get the existence of an aperiodic tiling in RD for D large enough with two tiles.
But we prove undecidability. We provided a counterexample not for one, but one modified. My point was that. Right.
We don't have here ZD. We have Z2 cross G0. But actually, I didn't mention it, thank you. we can pull back this construction to be in ZD where D is large enough.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It will be the number, D will be the number of the generator.
Oh, I see.
Group. So we can actually replace, maybe I'll write it here. So tiling problem in ZD. ZD, D is not fixed here because it corresponds to the number of generators. With two tiles, F1 and FG. We'll just pull back the construction here, and we will encode any such problem as a problem in ZD, where D is not fixed. So let me try to convince you or to motivate why the periodic tiling conjecture might be true. Why do we expect it to be true? What is so special about translational tiling by a single tile? Why they are so different from other tilings where we have counterexamples? And what is so rigid about the structure of this tiling? So maybe one good example to explain the rigidity of the tiling condition in this case is this dilation lemma. What it says that if we have a tile of ZD, okay, so this set F admits a tiling of ZD, it tiles, then actually we have tilings, we have many more tilings by the same, with the same translation set. We get that all the dilations of F by numbers that are coprime to the cardinality of F, they will also tile. And not only that, they will tile by the same tiling. So we will not need to modify the translation set. Okay? So once we have a tiling, we have many more tilings. And if you think about it, so what happens here when we dilate F by larger and larger numbers, F gets sparser and sparser. And A does not change. So the tiling is fixed, and F it gets sparser and sparser. And this means that we must find some non-trivial between, if we look at different subsets of different events inside A, even if these events, they are very, very, very far from each other, they should have some correlation, right? Because F gets sparser and sparser, and A is fixed. So there are long-term correlations inside the tiling, whenever we have a tiling. And maybe this long-term correlation implies periodicity, right? Because when we have periodicity, we have strong correlation between events inside the sets. They are very correlated. They are actually the same. Any question?
But this, if we are fixing the set A, then will there be overlaps while tiling? Like if just my normal example of having squares and squares tiling the plane and then square size increasing, but you are keeping A fixed.
Great question. So in RD, we will need to modify A. But this dilation lemma, it is true in ZD. So when you dilate a finite set, a finite subset of ZD, you get the same volume, right? So if you take, for example, we are in Z, and this is 0, 1, and we dilate it by, let's say, 3, this is what we get. So the size of the set is the same. And if we dilate, as you say, if we dilate in R, the volume is growing, and of course that we will need to adjust A. But this dilation lemma is about tiling in ZD. Okay. So this is a very strong statement about the, and it stops being true if we allow for more tiles or if we allow for more operations. And this maybe answers your question from before. Why? What is so special about translational tilings by a single tile? So this is exactly maybe the key. All the positive results towards the periodic tiling conjecture, they rely on this dilation lemma, which is not true when we don't have this restriction to translational tiling. So it's a strong statement but, and interesting, right? Because why should it be true? Geometrically, it's hard to imagine it. But the proof is actually very simple. And I want to show you the proof. Unless there are any questions before we... So our assumption is that F tiles along A. So this convolution is equal to 1. Right? This is, as we have seen, equivalent to saying that we have a tiling. What I'll do now is that I'll convolve both sides p minus 1 more times by 1 sub f. So on the left-hand side, I'll get this convolution. And on the right-hand side, I'll get this number, right? Because if I convolve 1 by 1 sub f, I get the cardinality of f. If I convolve the cardinality of f by 1 sub f, I get the cardinality of f squared. And if I continue and do it p minus 1 more time, I'll get the cardinality of f to the power of p minus 1. OK. So this equation is true by our assumption. So it is still true if I mod p it, if I consider it mod p. And when I do it, and if I assume that p is a prime that is a coprime to the cardinality of f, then I get that first, this is just because p is a prime, for any p that is a prime, this is by the Frobenius endomorphism. It's also called the Frenchman dream. If I take this p-fold convolution of 1 sub f mod p, it is equal to the indicator function of f dilated by p. Can you see it, or do you want me to explain more about this? It's like, if we have a plus b mod p, it is equal to, right? Mm-hmm. And this is actually the same as what we have here, because you consider this 1 sub f as a sum of 1 sub little f, where little f is any point of 1 sub f, p-fold convolution. So we can write it as 1 sub f1 plus 1 sub f, the cardinality of f, just by the definition of the indicator, right? And now I apply this idea, so I mod p, and I'll get that this is equal to these guys, mod p. But when I convolve an indicator function of just one point, p times, I translate this point p times, so this is equal to pf1 plus 1 sub p f, the cardinality of f, which is in turn equal to the indicator of f dilated by p. So this is for this equation, and this is just for the right-hand side. This equation the right-hand side will then be equal to 1 mod p by the Fermat-Little theorem. Okay? So what we get is that the left-hand side is equal to this convolution, because we can replace this guy by the indicator of f dilated by p. And the right-hand side, by the Fermat-Littler theorem, is equal to 1 mod p. So we get what we want, but we get what we want mod p, right? We get that the tiling equation that we wanted, but mod p. So we want to get rid of this mod p. We want to have actually tiling. We can get rid of this mod p at the cost of replacing the identity, the equality, with an inequality. But we want to have a tiling, so I want the identity back. And in order to prove that we actually have equality and not an inequality, I'll convolve one more time both sides by 1 sub f. So the left-hand side will be equal. So we had 1 sub a P F convolve with 1 sub A is at least 1. So we have a covering. Every point is covered at least once, but maybe not exactly once. So to prove to you that there is actually an identity here, I'll convolve both sides again by 1 sub F. So the right-hand side is equal to the cardinality of F. Right? And the left-hand side, when we convolve, remember that we assume that we have a tiling. So when we convolve 1 sub f with 1 sub a, we get the function 1. So this is equal to 1 convolve with the indicator of the dilation of f by p. But this just equals to the cardinality of the set, which is equal to the cardinality of f. So we actually have here an identity. And this completes the proof, right?
I just didn't understand. So because you convolved I sub f with I sub a, that this is 1, but don't we want to prove?
So we assume that 1 sub f, we assume that f tiles zd along a. So this is the same as saying that when we convolve 1 sub f with 1 sub a, we get the constant function 1. So when we convolve, we consider everything here is commutative, because we assume that our group is abelian. So when we convolve 1 sub f with 1 sub a, we get the function 1. And then we convolve with 1 sub pf, and we get the cardinality of this set pf.
Okay.
But we showed equality when after convolution, right? We had to show before convolution. Is that obvious?
This is a counter argument. You can kind of, it's reversible. If after we convolve both sides by 1 sub f, we get an identity, you can kind of think about it as division. We can
go back.
We will not have inequality here if we don't have inequality here. It can't happen. Okay, so that's what makes this dilation lemma is maybe one instance of why we might believe that the periodic tiling conjecture is true, and one instance of the idea that translational tilings by a single tile, they are very rigid, because the tilings, they have long-term correlation inside them. So going back to our question, now maybe you, in the colloquium, I'll motivate why we should expect the periodic tiling conjecture to fail. And now I gave you the other direction. I kind of motivated, why would we expect it to hold at all? Can I show some results about that?
Yeah.
We have time. So let me show you some positive results towards the periodic tiling conjecture.
Maybe 10 minutes? Is that,
okay. Yeah. I'll just write them down. I'll review it also later. But just to give you a sense of many, many positive results that have been obtained before we found the counterexample. So first, one result, which is trivial in finite abelian group. This is just trivial because all the sets here are periodic. When we have a finite abelian group, the question is trivial. In Z, this is less trivial, but still very, very easy to prove the periodic tiling conjecture. It was done by Newman in 77. In a Z cross finite abelian group, the periodic tiling conjecture is also true. This is also not too difficult, and this is something that we proved in 2021. It's an easy application of the argument of Newman. In Z2, the question is already very complicated, but it was the periodic tiling conjecture was proven to hold in this case by Bhattacharya. In 2020, and then we suggested an alternative proof a bit later that is a bit more simple. So the periodic tiling conjecture holds in Z2. What about the R case? So we know that the periodic tiling conjecture holds in the one-dimensional case. This was proven by Lagarias and Wang in 96. In R2, it's known to hold for topological disk. But it is open in general. This is due to several authors, Kenyon and Bocquier and Ivat in the 90s. We also know that in RD, the periodic tiling conjecture holds for convex domains. This was proven by Venkov in 54 and McMullen in 80. And the last thing that I'll mention is a result in ZD for large D. We know that the conjecture holds for tiles of prime cardinality or cardinality that is equal to 4. This is due to Zegedi in 98. But of course, there are many, many, many more tiles. Okay? So there are many positive results towards the conjecture, but very recently, Terry and I were able to construct a counterexample to the periodic tiling conjecture. So we showed that for sufficiently large D, the periodic tiling conjecture fails in ZD. So this. The answer to this question is no, and therefore the answer to this question is also no. And actually, our construction is done in Z2 cross G0 and not in ZD. We just pull it back as we did here to get a result in ZD, But actually, our construction is in a space that is virtual Z2. Almost a two-dimensional space. So this kind of hint that the conjecture should fail early in terms of the dimension, but we don't know how early. So this is the result that I'm going to discuss in the colloquium. I hope that I managed to motivate it. That's it.
Thank you. Thanks for this really nice overview. I really enjoyed it. Are there more questions? We had a bunch on going forward, but I had one question which is a bit maybe more sociological than mathematical. So for this lemma that you proved in Alpha Slide, there were many, many names.
Some
very important names too. So, there is some history behind
this,
it. Or?
This lemma was obtained in different contexts. So, Tiedemann, he proved it in the one-dimensional case, for example. Curry and Sabatoj, they proved it in a different context, in the context of Nivat's conjecture, which is a question in symbolic dynamics about subshifts of low pattern complexity, which are kind of generalization of tiling. So this dilation lemma holds also there. We proved it, we suggested an alternative proof, which also generalizes it to tilings of periodic subsets of ZD. So this dilation lemma, or maybe it remains true if you replace the D by a periodic subset of ZD. But Acharya proved exactly this result, but in Z2. But his proof can be generalized to any dimension. Horak and Kim, so in all the other proofs, this cardinality of F is actually a much larger number. And they used, this is the first place where I saw that the cardinality of F is used as the factor. And their proof is different. They use algebraic geometry to obtain the results. So,
fascinating.
Maybe how important is, or is it trivial, the pullback? Because if you say, it's going from something like G, Z, D cross G naught to Z, D prime.
Mm-hmm.
So, and even like in your final counter example, you do it for Z2 cross G and then pull back. So it feels that pullback is a very important part of providing a general counterexample to the actual, periodic tiling conjecture.
So the pullback is actually the easy part. The hard part is to construct a counterexample.
I see.
To pull it back, I'll explain in the colloquium how you do it. The thing is that this D depends on the number, is actually equal to the number of generators of the rank of this group. So once you have a construction here, you can easily pull it back. It's kind of what you will do in order to construct a counterexample from ZD to RD.
Okay.
So this direction is easy, as I explained, because RD has many more degrees of freedom. So you can expect it to fail if their rigid conjecture fails. So the same happens here. If you got a counterexample in a space that is not as complex, is not as infinite as ZD, it should fail also in ZD because we have more space for things to fail.
So you're basically dropping the commutational relations that define G naught and just saying every generator is its own direction. And so you'd be
So what happens is that we want, what we do, okay, so if we have a counterexample here, we can just naively pull it back because there is some projection from ZD prime to G naught, mm-hmm. right? Where D prime is the number of generator of G naught. So we can just pull it back using the projection. Yeah, yeah. But then maybe in the larger space, we will get many more tiles that we didn't have in this more rigid structure. And maybe in this larger space, there will be periodic tiling. So we want to eliminate this possibility. So to do that, instead of taking just the, maybe taking the rectangle, so D prime is the number of generators, G prime is the number of generator of G naught, and then we look at this quotient. So instead of taking just a naive rectangle that represent this quotient, we'll take some rigid fundamental domain. And by doing this, we will prevent all the tilings here will correspond to tilings here because of this rigidity. Because we, if we choose a fundamental domain that's very rigid, I'll talk a bit about it in the colloquium, but this is the idea. To take a fundamental domain that's rigid, and then all the tilings here will need to come from a tiling here.
I have one very, maybe this should not have come at the end, but very naive question. Why do we start with the group structure? Like, why do we start with, because R can be, RD can be thought of many other things. What is the importance of that group structure? Because tiling feels like you're doing something in a manifold or topological
right,
space.
Right, like the floor
or
manifold. Or,
yeah.
You need, to consider translational tilings, you need a translation to begin with. And translation, this is a group operation. So this is a naive, and the maybe... You need a group structure to talk about translations. In abelian, well, you can study tilings in non-abelian groups, but then you will not have this dilation lemma. So in groups that are non-abelian, this conjecture fails very, very easily.
Yeah, I see the motivation of being abelian because we're trying to do something with Rn or something like that, but...
But in order to say
translation you need
I need the group operation.
Okay.
And in general, A does not have to be a subgroup. It can be a subset, or does it have to form a subgroup? The A or the
A. A is not necessarily a group.
Group.
Because if it's sometimes it's not periodic. We prove actually that the translation set not only that. Okay. So sometimes here is an example. So if you are in R and you want to tile R by this union, okay? So what is going to be A? I put one copy here at zero, and then I want to tile, so I need to cover this part. So I'll put another copy here. I'll denote it like this because it's not the same copy. And now we are at four. And now I'll continue. So I'll put another copy here and another copy here, and we'll get to eight. And I'll put another copy here, another copy here. So A is not a subgroup.
That's right.
Well, thank you so much. It was really nice. Nice talk. And
thank
you. I really appreciate the effort to take it. To make it understandable, and I think it worked well.
Yeah, I hope that you can see why we had a lot of fun studying these questions.
Thank you very much.